Welcome to Red Meat, the conservative news update you need from Odyssey stations across the country. This is the place where we're not afraid to dig in.
Many of the survivors will tell you some of these people still are celebrated in our society. That's disgusting. There needs to be accountability.
That's right. As you may have guessed from that clip, we're talking about the Epstein files today. It has me feeling a little bit like Michael Corleone when he says, "Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in." But there's no way to avoid it. The vote to release the Epstein files is at the top of the news cycle again. Donald Trump signed a measure to compel the DOJ to release their files on sexual predator Jeffrey Epstein, who rubbed elbows with some of the most influential men in the world. What's next?
And attorney Phil DeLuzzetti says those hoping for a smoking gun from the files will be hugely disappointed, since they've already been reviewed by the Justice Department under two administrations.
What I mean by that is, if there were people that should have been prosecuted, trust me, whether you're a Democrat, whether you're a Republican, they would have been prosecuted.
Let's kick things off with Brian Kilmeade from Fox talking about it on The Reardon Show.
So, Brian, I've never, and I don't want to do this in a way that is insensitive to victims and true victims of sexual abuse, but the Epstein files has not been something that I've gone crazy on my show over the months or the years. I'm not minimizing the damage that was inflicted to these victims. But where are we on this particular topic right now? You got, obviously, almost a unanimous vote in the House to release all these files. The president says, yeah, go ahead, release them. You have Marjorie Taylor Greene now in a very interesting battle with President Trump. President Trump calls her a traitor. She reacts to that. There's a lot of weird stuff surrounding the Epstein files that's happening right now. How do you even describe this situation?
This is going to be the biggest backfire in the history of Washington. They're going to let up tens of thousands of pages. Do they really think it's all about Trump? Really? A lot of the times he's mentioned by other people who don't like him, like Jeffrey Epstein. We're going to stop him. He's a terrible person. How do you stop him? Michael Wolff, how do we stop Trump? I know you got the silver bullet. Larry Summers, he's a despicable person. There's nothing good about him. Does that count as a Trump mention? You tell me. So I'm amazed that people think now Larry Summers is a casualty. This woman from the Virgin Islands is a casualty. And now the lead lawyer at Goldman Sachs is a casualty. They're saying, why are you talking to Jeffrey Epstein after you already spent time in jail for being with an underage girl? And, you know, why are you, you think Bill Gates is not going to come up? They were blood brothers. You think that Bill Clinton would have to remember?
Bill Clinton's going to come up for sure. Yeah.
By the way, he refuses to show up for a subpoena. Steve Bannon didn't do that. He went to jail. By the way, Steve Bannon, another guy. Steve Bannon says, I'm going to help rehabilitate you. I'm going to do a documentary. Wasn't that nice? That's an interesting approach. So I'm pretty sure that that's going to surprise a lot of people in the MAGA world, because he's quite, you know, and at times very critical of Trump. So if you think that this is about Trump, you just really don't get it. Ro Khanna, Tom Massie, all these others, we have to do the Marjorie Taylor Greene. We have to do the right thing for the girls. Okay, number one, if you're talking about doing the right thing, what about for the 100,000 kids that came across our border that we can't track? We only got 30,000 back. You know, if you cared about these girls, you would have talked about it 4 years ago, 8 years ago. This was a story before he killed himself in 2019. So I don't see any sincerity here, and this is going to be the biggest backfire ever. You mark my words, Mark, next week, you think that we just, Hakeem Jeffries reaching out to his fundraisers, reaching out to Jeffrey Epstein, please come to Hakeem Jeffries fundraiser? Really?
Yeah, then
so
there's interesting
Trump.
There's interesting
that.
Jasmine Crockett news, too. Of course, she's down there in Houston, and she's from here in St. Louis, so we always kind of pay attention to her kookiness. And she goes on the House floor yesterday, and she talks about how she had her team dig in very quickly and looked at Mitt Romney, Lee Zeldin, George Bush. And Lee Zeldin responds, yeah, there was a guy named Jeffrey Epstein who donated to my campaign. He was a doctor, and it was completely different person than Jeffrey Epstein. No relation at all. And that's what she had. So there's all kinds of things like that happening as well surrounding all this. But what do you make of the Marjorie Taylor Greene battle?
It's a huge miscalculation on her part. It's getting to the point where it's Liz Cheney-esque. So they thought, hey, guys, who's with me? You know, she is somebody on the fringe that the president felt bad for, thought she was so loyal to him. And Kevin McCarthy felt bad for her and said, let me bring her in. When the Democrats first had her, and they were in the majority. They said this woman's not capable of being on a committee. She had to apologize for her remarks saying that Jews have space lasers and trying to destroy the world. And now she says, I'm going to stick up for these girls and healthcare is too expensive, so I'm going to go on CNN and complain about Trump. I don't know who's her advisor, but it might feel good now to be on The View and to have Dana Bash be nice to you, but they don't care about you. They have no loyalty to you. The only reason you're being interviewed is because you're going against Trump. That's the adrenaline shot. And then you end up like Adam Kinzinger on the sideline, look like you're going to break into tears every minute because you have nowhere to go. And Trump has totally boxed you in. I mean, so she's heading the same direction. And there's no way that she's going to ever be back in the fray.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. What did you make of this? This is stunning to me. The Democrats put this out.
You can refuse illegal orders.
You can refuse illegal orders.
You must refuse illegal orders.
No one has to carry out orders that violate the law or our Constitution.
So you had all kinds of people in there like AOC telling people in our military, in the CIA, to disobey orders if they feel like they're not something they agree with. That's a different type of ad campaign, isn't it?
You and I think exactly the same. I watched this by myself. At first I heard it on Sirius, and then I went and watched it, and my jaw was on the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, if the squad put this out, I go, these guys are idiots. But you have people who have served this country admirably, like Jason Crow, and I imagine Slotnick, and I know Mark Kelly, an astronaut. My goodness, how smart this guy used to be, and a pilot, you know, and, you know, how... I always try to hold him to a higher standard, and he always tries to tell me, please don't. And now I know exactly why. Because, you know, he's a Soros guy. You know, he wants to run for president. So think about this. Where was that ad when you had a mind-addled president who said, pull out of Afghanistan?
That's a good question.
I'm thinking to myself, 22 years, after 22, we're going to leave like this? I don't think so. I am disobeying the boss. Wouldn't it be great if General Milley just said, hey, I saw this great ad. I think I know what's right. I know this is going to be a disaster. McKenzie saying, I'm not going to leave Afghanistan. You know, I think it's a really bad idea. I think it's a really bad idea that the president came out and said, if Taiwan's invaded, that we're going to go to war with China. I don't agree with that. So as a military member, I'm going to put down my wings. And then what about this? Do you want people to leave the Gerald Ford and maybe get off in Tobago and spend a life there because you don't agree with the Venezuelan mission? Is that really what the military is about? I mean, I never saw something so irresponsible. Are you really trying to divide the country, go into the military, and get them to question their leadership?
It really is stunning, and it's undercovered in the legacy media. There's no doubt about that.
We all remember that the president didn't want the Epstein documents released. So what made him change his mind? Here's Mark Cox with more.
We're lucky enough to have Cassie Smedley back with us. Cassie, it has been a little while. How you been?
Spirits are high. The economy is good. President Trump's in office. We'll take the wins where we can get them.
I played that, this whole Epstein thing's blown up. And I really believe, again, this may end up being some 3D chess on the part of Donald Trump, saying he didn't want it released and then saying he did want it released and making everybody in the House and Senate all vote to release it so that when it does get released, you know, whatever comes out, they can't accuse him of playing a role in what is inside of some of these documents. I think it's going to indict a lot of people, don't you, on both sides?
Yes, I think we're about to have a big uncovering of what we've long suspected,
yeah.
I think. You know, we long suspect Bill Clinton is wrapped up in all of this and other names, you know. Of course, Larry Summers is having his whole big falling out with Harvard, which I just laugh about, that all these Harvard students are crying that they've had to share space with Larry Summers. But more to the point, I think that this needed to happen. We needed to get this monkey off our backs to... Nobody thinks that Jeffrey Epstein is a hidden saint. He was a vile human being,
yes,
who enabled vile human beings. But it was taking up too much oxygen, and it was distracting, first of all, from the issues that the American people and American voters care about, but also distracting from what the president and Republicans are doing about them. And just to talk politics here, we're heading into a midterm election year. And after what we just saw in Virginia and New Jersey, I'm always a Kansas City gal, but I live in Virginia. And what we just went through up and down the entire ballot, not just governor, shows that we've got to get the focus back on the domestic issues, on the economy, where there's good stuff happening, thanks to President Trump and Republicans. But because Democrats are taking up all the oxygen with Epstein, we're not hearing about it. And so therefore, we're not feeling it, we're not seeing it, and we're blaming Republicans for it. So this needed to happen.
Yeah. Jobs report came out and looks like some pretty good numbers, actually. More than anticipated. What are your thoughts on how Powell is going to react, how the Fed's going to react? If that guy doesn't give us an interest rate decrease, is he going to have a job in a month?
Well, we already know that he's on the president's S list.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
And he seems to have not been intimidated by that. But I do think there will be more of a public outcry. Come on, man. We can't afford houses. We're seeing inflation be the driver of this unaffordability crisis, because I'm sure you're seeing it in Missouri as well. In my area, you always know the expensive gas station and the cheap gas station, but all of them are less, whether it's by 7 cents or 25 cents, prices have gone down. So we've got to get the rest of our life, our livelihoods and lifestyle costs down as well. And of course, the Fed rates are a big indicator of people feeling like they can go out and spend money and invest in big things, not just talking about groceries and gas, of course. So I do think there's going to be more of a public outcry. And I actually give President Trump credit for making Jerome Powell a household name. Everybody knows who's the guy holding up our ability to, you know, get ahead.
Yeah, to have affordable money, and not just in the housing market either. It definitely affects business. When businesses are paying higher interest, they stay in cash. They don't grow. They don't build things. Lower interest rates encourage business growth as well.
Yeah. Cassie, we're talking to Cassie Smedley. You've been in the communications business a long time. I sit here every day on the radio 4 hours a day, and I observe these things that are going on, and I'm mystified. Maybe it's because I'm in an insulated world here. I don't know, but I'm mystified when at the end of that shutdown, there were major polls in this country that somehow showed that a majority of the American people were still blaming the Republicans. When every Republican voted, I believe just about everyone, voted to reopen the government every single time, and every Democrat voted to keep it shut down every single time, somehow the Republicans still ended up losing that. And it's got to be the mainstream media influence, right? I mean, that's got to be what's driving it. And that's what I worry about on this affordability issue heading into the midterms next year. Even though we see prices falling, we see the good things that are happening and the potential for even better things with these trade deals, the mainstream media is going to be pitching to the American people for the next 12 months how bad things are.
Without a doubt, they run cover for the Democrats. Not only run cover, they run propaganda. They are an arm of the Democrat campaign committee. But I'll posit you one step further why I think these polls continue to defy reason and logic. It's our education system. Back to how a bill becomes a law. People will say the Democrats knowingly mislead the American people to say, well, the Republicans have the majority. They've got the White House, the majority in the House and the Senate. So clearly it's their fault. When, of course, the reality is, you needed 60 votes in the Senate. There aren't 60 Republican senators, so therefore the math doesn't allow for it. The only way you could reopen the government was to have 8 Democrats vote to reopen, which is what ended up happening once they heard the outcries of enough pain from their constituents. So they brought it on, and they were the only ones who could end it, frankly. But the fact that the polls don't reflect that, I think, is because our education system is failing so many Americans. And then to have that played out in what they're hearing on news and social media and other platforms is a reason why it's tough to get your message out there. Fortunately, I do think not only is President Trump the best at using his megaphone, but he has taught Republicans how to fight and use it and to throw historical communication norms out the window. Yeah. I remember when I worked on Capitol Hill, it was like, Oh, no, that would be impolite to say that. We don't do that anymore. We don't worry about that anymore.
Cassie, we appreciate your insight on this. Of course, I love having you on. Now Vice President at COIN. We appreciate you helping us out this morning. We'll talk again soon.
Is the president really playing 3D chess, or did his party turn against him on Epstein? Here's Tara Serbacius.
Good morning, Lee.
Hey there, Tara.
It's the number one story in the country. Trump signs the bill to release the Jeffrey Epstein case files after fighting it for months.
Mm-hmm.
Number one story.
Yeah.
Now we have a test that'll be fascinating and probably also painful to watch. Does Trump have enough control over the deep state to get these documents? I don't know. Seriously doubt it.
Yeah, that's the question. Yeah.
Yeah.
Confidence is not high.
It's not high. And when that happens, and I think it will, they may be able to put some more out. They may be able to dump some more stuff out. I hope they can. Just something, anything. They'll say Trump is stonewalling. Trump is hiding. Trump is doing that kind of thing. When what it actually is Trump does not have full control of the federal government, never has been fighting for it for a long time, mm-hmm. and can't get these documents. Senator Ron Johnson talking about both Epstein and Thomas Crooks. So you got three things going on here, and we've been very tightly focused on them right now that tell you a story. Number one, the pipe bomber on January 6th, the existence of the pipe bomber was used as justification to censor conservatives, to target us, to politically persecute us, because we're dangerous. We're terrorists, right-wing terrorists, right? Well, we now know from the Blaze's amazing investigative reporting team, the pipe bomber wasn't a MAGA. She's a Capitol Police officer. She got a plum job with the CIA after planting those bombs. The FBI lied about that. The agent that found her knew who she was. We had her within days. Kyle Serafim of the bombing was interviewing within days, wanted to interview, I should say, her next door neighbor who dropped her off. FBI called off the whole thing, told him he couldn't continue the investigation. He'd gotten basically too close to the actual pipe bomber who was not MAGA. We learned that from from the Blaze. See the problem there? Mm-hmm. And it happened again in the last 2 weeks. So the FBI lied. Happened again in the last 2 weeks with Thomas Crooks. We found out the truth about who Crooks is. That's terrifying. FBI lied. We found out from Cash Patel. No. No, we didn't. We found out from X, from Tucker Carlson, who broke the story, and then the New York Post, who piggybacked on it. See the problem there?
Yeah. There's a transparency problem here, Tara, isn't there?
There is a massive transparency problem. What I don't know right now is whether Cash Patel has done what everybody else has done who's walked into the DOJ and the FBI under Trump in the past administration. You go through the doors, it's like they zap you in the brain. You become a droid and you exist to protect the deep state at all costs, even if you were a good person before that. I don't know what they do to them. Or Cash Patel just can't get this stuff. I want you to hear this. This is Senator Ron Johnson saying something very interesting, okay? And this is a fascinating clip when you look at it. I did the Battleground America podcast on it yesterday. This Ron Johnson should be really angry at Cash Patel right now because Ron Johnson subpoenaed all of this Thomas Crooks stuff that's now coming out from the New York Post, from X, from Tucker Carlson. That was back in July. Issued a subpoena, a legally required comply document to Cash Patel and the FBI. Turn it over in July. It's November. He isn't bothered. You think Ron Johnson, Senator Johnson, would be mad about that. But he doesn't sound mad. And so again, he's on Fox News and they're doing a dual interview. Okay, it's a little confusing, but half of it's on Epstein. The other half is on Crooks. It's the same interview, but he's talking about both here. When he says, look, I mean, most of this evidence is probably destroyed. In other words, he doesn't seem really angry at Cash Patel for defying his subpoena and ultimately lying to them, saying there's no there. We've given you everything. Or did he just think he'd given them everything? This is like a Tom Clancy novel. It's hard to even explain, really, if you haven't read the whole 800 pages, right?
Exactly. You get all the characters and the plot lines messed up.
Yeah. But this, I mean, it's also fascinating, you know what I mean? I'm horrified, but at the same time, completely fascinated by it. Okay, listen to Ron Johnson here. Again, he should be mad at Kash Patel for defying his subpoena. And he's talking about the Epstein documents. If you listen to this, I don't think he thinks we can get them.
I'm not quite sure what's happening inside the current FBI and Department of Justice. I mean, I don't doubt for a second there remain partisans burrowed in, trying to frustrate every attempt, certainly not coming forward and volunteering information. I mean, the fact that some of this evidence was recovered out of a burn bag, out of a skiff, first of all, indicates how many documents have already been destroyed.
Yeah.
But people do wrong. They don't leave evidence laying around. So I'm highly concerned about, a lot of relevant and incriminating documents already having been destroyed, and certainly not help from a lot of the deep staters in these agencies to try and get to the truth out, to help Kash Patel and Pam Bondi. So, I've got a great deal of sympathy with those two individuals. They're trying to clean up a lot of messes left behind by the Biden administration.
All right, we'll check.
Okay, he just said he has a great deal of sympathy to the guy currently defying his subpoena.
You know, that makes it sound to me like that he understands that Patel and Bondi do not have control of those agencies, and the president doesn't either. And that, as he said, there are the deep state is there. Mm-hmm. It is embedded. It is not able to be completely eliminated. I mean, it's almost like trying to treat a cancer. You can deal with some of the symptoms, but it is so intertwined into the body that it is not possible to completely eradicate it.
That is, by the way, the third time Ron Johnson has said this, Lee, where he said, hey, we rely on whistleblowers to find out what's going on with the FBI's biggest cases. Mm-hmm. Well, you should be able to just send down the hall for the file and they bring it to you.
No,
we need whistleblowers for that. Whistleblowers, just to find out what's going on in the agencies we're supposed to run. So I'm not convinced at all that Trump could get whatever Epstein stuff. And then you put that on top of a bombshell our side really needs to revisit right now. And I know why we didn't, because there was so much news that week. It was 2 weeks ago now. We learn that James Comey's little girl, disgraced James Comey, his little girl, who's a federal prosecutor, offered Epstein a deal. Make up something on Trump. Tar him as a pedophile. It's got to be something Trump can't disprove. And we'll take away the charges. We'll drop the charges against you. And that she even said, because remember, Trump was in office at the time, right? He was still president when she's doing this with Epstein. Epstein was arrested under Trump. Don't forget that. Arrested under Trump's Department of Justice. She tells Epstein, look, Trump may be president, but he doesn't control the DOJ. He doesn't control the FBI. We do. That's what his little girl's been doing the whole time, protecting the Johns, trying to go after Donald Trump. And I think maybe even protecting the Johns so that, wow, when those files come out, Trump's name's not in them. Because believe me, they used it. If it was, then they got nothing.
Yeah.
It's so this whole plot is still ongoing. This really is the new Russia hoax.
Yeah.
The new fight with the deep state. Meanwhile, polls are turning negative on affordability. Trump said he'd fix the prices.
Yeah, I know. This is.
And what people see, and people are desperate, okay?
Yeah.
They really are. I mean, things are still Biden-flated.
Yes.
Terribly Biden-flated. And here's the thing people don't understand. You actually don't want the prices to go down, okay? That's deflation. That is an absolute economic nightmare. What you want is the prices to stabilize.
Stabilize, yeah.
And they are.
Yeah.
It's just
slowly.
They absolutely are. I mean, we're looking at about, just shy of 3% inflation. That has been considered healthy until now. Now all of a sudden it's not healthy.
Yeah.
It absolutely was when Biden was telling us that he'd gotten inflation down to something in that range. But now all of a sudden Trump's not. Wages have not caught up with those prices, but you don't want prices to go down. You just want them to stabilize. And here's the sad part about this, and I hope we can fix this by the midterms. Things are beginning to turn. And I don't know if they'll turn fast enough. They really are.
Yeah, Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, was talking with Brett Baer on Fox News the other night about just this very same thing. And he was predicting first, second quarter next year about when things should stabilize and
you'd
really see some improvement. Of course, that doesn't help you with the polling right now. And whether or not people – what people think is absolutely accurate, because a lot of people are blaming Trump. I think one of the polls that Fox News just showed a while ago, it's like two-thirds of the people are blaming Trump for the current economic situation. And I'm thinking, gee, that's not really fair. It's mostly Biden. But it's like it doesn't matter what I think. It's what the majority of the voters think in the polling is as we approach the 2026 midterms. That's what matters.
Do you remember right before the election, an amazing thing actually happened? The number one issue and number two issue were actually immigration related.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Number three was the economy. Right. And people were in more pain than they are now.
Right. Yeah. That's right. True. Yeah.
Well, Trump has solved number one and number two.
Yeah. So guess what?
People think he hasn't. Actually, he is gone now. We have a lot more to fight. So now they want the prices down.
Yeah.
And they're blaming him rather than who they should blame, which is Joe Biden. So this is a really nutty a place to be. But I'm telling you, I think if we could solve the jobs problem, that would go a really, really long way.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Crazy times that we live in. Folks, we're still on the razor's edge. But the good news is we're in control and we've got 3 years and 2 months to fix this.
Thank you for listening to Red Meat, a collection of conservative audio from Odyssey's talk stations across the country. This is the place where we're not afraid to dig in, listen wherever you get podcasts, and smash that subscribe button.